it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm thinking Boston is the better team. They would be the better team even if the Heat had Jimmy Buffett.
Wow.
That would be a miracle. Jimmy Buffett playing for the Heat.
Especially because he's dead.
This is the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, Greg Cody.
Dad, there's a famous Adam Sandler line that he uses in one of his movies that I think describes how you look right now.
Okay.
And that line is, goo!
That's right. Goo?
It's
G-O-O?
I forget what movie it is. It might be Billy Madison, where he sees something. You know what it is? It's the kid peed his pants scene in Billy Madison when he's like, something's wrong with this kid. Let me go over there and check on him. And the kid turns around and he's got urine all down his pants. And his reaction to seeing the urine is like, hey, buddy, what's wrong? Goo!
Okay. All right. Goo with a lot of O's.
It's more just the emphasis of the shock of how you look rough, my friend.
Okay. First of all, I have not urinated my parents, so I want to get that straight.
You haven't urinated your parents?
My pants.
Oh, okay.
Please. Okay. Yeah, there was an episode the other night, and I put a photo. We're doing this Sunday night. I put a photo on social media warning people about what happened to me and that I was going to talk about on this podcast. And
did you fall for clicks?
No, I can honestly say no, although it may seem like it after the fact.
People are going to I think we should actually set this up because people are going to be alarmed. Like people that haven't seen the tweet and are only hearing us right now.
Okay.
My dad, it looks jacked up. He looks like he got kicked the shit out of in a fight. His right eye, or is it your left eye? Zooms are weird.
No, it's my right eye. And let me explain two things that it looks like. Number one, it looks like I got mugged and beat up by Dan Marino because he's still pissed off about that column after all these years. Right. And number two, it looks like UFC started a category for people 65 and older. I entered and got the shit kicked out of me in my first time in the octagon. That's what I look like right now.
I think it looks like you went maximum face plant into a ditch.
Yeah.
It looks like all of those things combined. I look like shit.
Now, let's seriously tell the people what happened because, believe it or not, you weren't hammered.
No, I mean,
I wish you were. I mean, I don't wish you were, but this story, the bush, we made a lot of run out of you being drunk falling in a bush. So for your character, it would help if you were hammered here.
Okay. I think people will recall that I had a couple of fainting spells a year ago or so at the High Line. I fainted, fell out of a chair.
Well, it didn't happen all at High Line. You had
that,
one at
that was
at
the most recent one out of what,
okay,
five?
Yes. I have, this is my fourth career fainting. Okay. And it happened that, and Christopher was right behind me because we were leaving bowling on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
So Christopher didn't see it, but he was right behind it.
No, I walk outside 5 minutes after my dad had left, and there's a guy standing over my dad on the phone with the paramedics because he just saw a man fall over, which thank God for that guy because who knows, my dad was just kind of out of it because when he faints, he kind of doesn't remember fainting. So he was just kind of why am I sitting in the middle of the street? So I didn't see the fall. Right. And this is at night. And yes. So I see a little blood on his forehead, but I don't see...
It was Wednesday night at about 10 p.m.
So I don't see any swelling. I don't see any black eye. I just see a little cut on his forehead. So I say to the guy who's on the phone to paramedics, look, he's my dad. He might have a concussion, so I'm going to drive him home, but he's fine. Let's call off the paramedics. And what I saw the next day from my dad after I dropped him off, his face ballooned up. His eye was shut. I immediately was like, go to the doctor because you could have some like internal bleeding. Like it was the next morning was rough.
I know it was. And 2 days later, it was worse. And I did go to the walk-in clinic. I couldn't get my doctor to see me right away. So I went to a walk-in clinic. They did take an x-ray of my orbital bone, because that was their concern, was that I had broken or split my orbital bone around the eye. But it came back negative, like that was cool. But now they're sending me for like a brain CT scan or something, Jesus. Because they want to make sure, when I mentioned that I have like a history of fainting, they wanted to make sure that it wasn't a neurological problem. So long story short, I fell after bowling. I injured my face pretty bad. And believe me, I am lucky. I want to say right now, I could have landed on my mouth and I would be facing all kind of dental surgery. I could have broken my nose. I could have fractured my skull. I mean, I'm lucky. I'm not complaining by the way I look, even though it's so embarrassing that not going to Heat games or Panthers games right now because I don't want to be seen in public. But I'm lucky. I'm not complaining, but that's what happened.
And so how long after this fall did you start seeing the clicks and the downloads that this episode's going to do?
Probably when I posted the photo Sunday night.
Because I think a few weeks ago you said something to along the lines of, man, Our downloads are great, but we could use something that really pops.
We're gonna take a dive.
Okay.
So I don't want to accuse you of doing this on purpose, but it's a good idea by you.
Okay, I can say right now, with my hand on my heart, I will do a lot of things for downloads and clicks. One of them is not planting face first in the asphalt and looking like I'm looking right now. Yeah. I promise you that. Mm-hmm. I did not do it for clicks.
Yeah, Greg, I'm glad when we talked the other day, you were telling me that I asked you about your heart, if they've been checking out your heart after these incidences. And you said that they have, and your most recent cardiologist checkup was great. That was good. Yeah. My mother-in-law went through this where she started fainting and to the point where she even hit her head on a table. And, you know, pretty dangerous, especially at, you know, 77 years old. She had to have a pacemaker installed. That's what I was trying to tell you the other day. So hopefully that's not, I mean, it doesn't sound like you're going to have anything like that since your heart's checked out fine, but.
Yeah. The weird thing is I had seen my cardiologist, a week before.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, it was a periodic thing. I hadn't seen him in a few months. So they did a routine EKG on me and all the numbers looked great. Like he was bragging about it. Like for my age, these numbers are great. He was thrilled. So I don't think it's a heart issue. And I'm about to have, I haven't had them yet as we're talking, I'm about to have two tests related to the skull and the brain and whether there's anything that they can see that would indicate why am I, because my coughing is not what it was. Like I'm not a chronic cougher anymore, but like, why am I, what happened? I don't think I tripped, you know, Christopher didn't witness it. All of a sudden, I'm like losing consciousness. And the next thing I know, people are standing over me talking. It's just the weirdest thing in the world. And it had last happened at Highline when I just fell out of a chair. So there I wasn't injured. This time I was actually injured. But, and the weird thing is, I want to move on from this, but I'm okay. And one night later is the NFL draft. And I'm exulting because I am kicking the ass of the draft.
Is that why you didn't want to come on our watch party?
Honestly, yes.
Oh, see, at that time, I knew, but I offered you a chance to do it, not even on camera, like just call in, but you still didn't even do that. But
Thursday night, I was ready to crawl into a cocoon. I mean, my face looked like, it looks like right now, but three times worse.
I was going to say, you actually... If we're showing this at all on social, like what he looks like, what I'm looking at is 10 times better than it looked 3 days ago, Yeti. Like,
oh, my God. I mean, my eye was closed. My right eye was closed. I couldn't see. It looked like a bad fighter.
See, but just judging by the draft night you're having and by the text messages I was getting from you, I would have never known that you had an accident. I didn't know until Friday.
Yeah.
And, but like All I'm getting, I loved getting this update of this many Zagactos, this many Gazactos. Yeah. We even had Steve, one of our show fans, was texting me and Chris, and for some reason, your landline.
Yeah.
Because he was texting how he was keeping track of your Zagactos and telling us how many. And
because you've written multiple columns the last few days, correct? Even though you haven't been going to the games, but you're writing from home.
Okay, if it
turns out with these brain scans that you're internally bleeding, what a playthrough you've had the last few days.
For real. Michael, screw the flu game, you know.
You will have had 9 Zagactos and 4 columns. And
that's
after literally pulling yourself up out of the gutter.
While your brain is hemorrhaging blood.
That's true. Well, the doctor did tell me that I shouldn't drive until these tests come back because, you know, doctors are always overly cautious.
But you've driven.
No, well, I've driven my, you know, Publix to pick up a prescription or something, but I haven't.
Drove home from the doctor.
Well, okay, that's fair. That's fair. But at any rate, I'm fine. And in my Zagactos, I had 9 Zagactos, which was
8.5. You had J.J. McCarthy going to the Vikings at 10. I mean, at 11, and he went 10.
No, I don't think so.
No, Dad, they had the 11th pick.
Okay, but the Vikings picked him.
Yeah, but they traded up with the Jets, 1 pick.
Okay, but the Zagacto is right player to right team in the first round.
No, the right order is just the extra. That's a super Zagacto.
Yeah, the right order is a bonus.
No, to me, that's an exacto, and a Zagacto is like...
Okay.
In my mind, but.
All right, okay, I'm not going to debate this.
How'd you do compared to Mel? Did you bury Mel Kiper?
Okay, I did not because Mel had 8. Levitard actually asked me, and I had not figured it out, so I figured it out. And as best I can tell, Mel had 8. And I'm going to be honest with you; it was an easy draft.
The first four were pretty.
The first four were no brainers. When you start off 4 for 4, you have a jump start, but. You know, my last Zagacto...
Bo Nix. Hey, no. Bo Nix was a standing ovation.
Yes. Thank you. Bo Nix was big. My last Zagacto was number 20. If you get an Zagacto 20 or later, you've hit the lottery. I mean, I'm not bragging. I mean, 9 was a great number. Am I disappointed that I got shot out from there and didn't get the coveted double figures? Oh, my God. I would have... fallen on my face twice and injured my left side to get that 10th Zagacto.
Is this your best year?
I think it was. I can't quantify it, but I'm pretty sure this was my best year. It killed me that I didn't get the Dolphins pick. And by the way, I don't think the Dolphins had a great draft. They only had like 6 picks, but they didn't get their main thing.
That's crazy. I've been reading about like the metrics and analytics that like in terms of where guys were consensus, they like take all the mock drafts and they just go like this guy was supposed to go there, roughly here,
right.
That almost every guy they took was supposed to go way before that. So in terms of like value for their picks, they were like second highest in the entire league.
Hmm. Okay. There's a lot of metrics. There's a lot of ways to figure it out.
Like the running back.
But did they get better? That's for metrics or value for picks, but did they get better?
There's just simply no way to answer that question right now.
That's true. But do they need a running back? Hell no.
No. And did they need one when they took Achane? Like,
okay.
They're going
they
for
have like, Achane now. I mean, but
Greer sees talent and he's like, I'm going to cultivate. Like, I trust Greer. Okay. Greer's, I mean, okay. You're never going to hit on every pick, but
okay.
He hasn't done a lot. To like question him.
Right. You're right. I mean, 2 years ago, people hated Greer. Dolphin fans hated Greer. Now they love him. I get that. But when you take and Chop Robinson, by the way, the edge rusher, underperformer in college, had 11 sacks his entire college career, including 4 last year. Not great numbers. Okay. So he's like a projected guy. Maybe he's going to be better than he was in college. You hope so. But when they picked him, with their first pick, I'm thinking to myself, okay, this means they think Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb are not going to be ready for the season. That's why they're picking a replacement fill-in guy for that. Meantime, you know, you had Graham Barton, a center/guard from Duke, who would have fit perfectly with their primary need.
Who you said they should take.
Yeah, it just happened to. Yeah, I did.
I mean, Dad, like, that's like Graham Barton.
Kiper Jr. said the same thing.
Right, but that's what I mean. Like, you're just like, a lot of people were saying they should take him. So you latched on to that, and now you're upset that they didn't. It's like, they don't, like, Chris Greer is not, like, reading Mel Kiper. It's like just because a few nerds who have to predict shit said that they should take him, you're, like, all upset. Okay. When it's like, I trust Chris Greer more than I trust you.
Okay, you know, I'll remember that when I'm redoing your will.
What?
I'm just kidding. It's just a joke.
Chris, you have Tampa on your voice.
Yeah. I'm honestly, with how much I was shouting at the game last night, I'm surprised my voice sounds as good as it does, honestly.
Okay. Can I? You were there, so I want to go to you in a second, but yeah. I want to say one thing. And this is the biggest compliment I can pay to the Florida Panthers. Okay. You're up 3-0 in the series. You're down 3-0 in game 4. You skate on the game. You pack it in. They did not. They came back from 3-0 down and 4-1 down, and they kept fighting as if they could win that game.
Yep.
That's the Florida Panthers that I love.
And yes, I agree. Like, that second intermission. Well, first off, the Panthers have been so good when behind that, as like me and my friends and like Mike Ryan, like, we were not worried down 3-0 in that first,
really?
In that first intermission. I mean, obviously we know we're down, but we said, if we get the first goal in the second period and get it to 3-1, we can get this thing back and make this a game. Like, that's, the Panthers have come back so many times that when they're down 3-0, they're not out of it. And they got it to 4-3 to at the end of the second period. So that second intermission, we were fired up. We were back.
I'll bet.
And, you know, a couple, the group chat's not too happy with how Bob played. I didn't see them as soft goals as much as the other people, but, you know, not Bob's best performance. But I thought that right. The Lightning came out. Stamkos was great, you know, when he needed to be. That's a championship team, so you know that they're not going to fold. Obviously, being up 3-0, that game didn't feel that important, but now it gets scary. Like, this game Monday, if we lose this one, now we're scared. We're like, we had a little leeway, and that leeway is gone. Game 5 is scary. It's already scary.
I've been scared ever since Greg said, basically in his article, something like, consider it over. If history has anything to say, you know, this one is over. And I've been scared for the Panthers ever since I read that.
Yeah.
Okay. I do look at historical trends. And in the NHL, if you're up 3-1, you still have a 90% chance of winning.
It's 98 or 99, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, 98, I think 98 was 3-0.
Yeah, right. I think 90 is still 90 point something. Okay, and the Panthers have 2 of the last 3 at home. And this is a better team. Stamkos, how old is he now? Like mid-30s? Stamkos has been so good for so long. I'm so impressed by that guy.
Yeah.
They can't stop him.
I have a question about Bob. You know, I really only get to follow through Twitter and listening to how everybody else talks about the game. He's had a pretty good year, though.
Oh, great year.
Okay.
Yeah. So
wasn't it like, I think it was about 3 years ago.
Oh, no, we hated him.
Yeah, I was going to say, y'all were trying to get rid of him.
Well,
before they had their President's Cup run.
Right.
That year. And even that year, I think y'all were kind of like, we could probably do without Bob, right? What's been the change?
I think he's in the fourth year of this long, crazy, high-paying contract. And the first couple, he was bad. And like a lot of like our backups were better than him. And we were like in this weird spot of like, do we play the guy we're paying, or do we play the guy who's playing better? Panther fans were out on him. And then the last couple of years, he's kind of just flipped it. And like me and Mike and our friends were joking yesterday about like how people are like so weird and confused by it. It's pretty simple. He was bad before and we hated him.
Right.
And now he's good now. And now we like him.
But what's changed about his game to elevate?
It's just, I mean, he even before he got here, he had won the best goalie award. He had taken a team to the final. So, like, he had shown flashes of this before, but I can't explain it other than he just kind of went through a spell where he wasn't playing well, and now he's kind of back to being at his top game. So I don't have much explanation for it other than he's just better now, and we like him. We love Bob.
We love Bob.
He's gone very quickly from a bad contract to the best goalie in franchise history.
I know. And he's another mid-30s guy, right? Like, he's not young.
Yeah. I mean, I think Van Beesbrouck only took us to that one final, right? I mean, I think Bob, if we like make it out of this round, will, I think, be our most decorated goalie ever. I mean, Luongo right. was great with us, but we didn't really go far with him.
I think the thing that I noticed about the last game was the Panthers had been really like the special teams, the power play, the penalty kill. That's where Tampa shines. And that's where Florida had been good the first two games, first three games, actually. But in this game that they lost, they only gave up one of the six goals, only gave up one goal that was 5-on-5. Like, they have to stay out of the box.
Look, the Panthers commit a lot of penalties, statistically, right. like the most. So it's hard for Panther fans to complain about all the penalties being called. But the discrepancy has been crazy in this series. Like,
yeah, it has. And, like, and now you're playing the team noted for
right
penalty for right. power plays.
It's just a tough thing because the Panthers' style of play is aggressive. So it's right. that's going to come with penalties. And I just hope that this can balance out a little bit because there just seems to be a lot of plays where it's like, why is that not a penalty?
Right.
That seemed like that could have been a penalty on them. And then every little thing is called with us. And I think a lot of that is reputation. Teams yeah. know that the Panthers are this aggressive team. So it's just in the officials' heads. So
for sure.
I'm not worried. Like, I know I said that this gets scary now that they won a game, but if the Panthers are the better team here. And
right.
hockey's weird. We might lose game five at home and then go win it in Tampa. Like, yeah. I don't think home ice really means that much here. So. I'm not
worried either.
Yeah, I'm still confident and I'm worried all at the same time, and that's playoff hockey.
Okay, I'm not worried. I think the Florida Panthers up 3-1 are all but a cinch to advance. I'm going to say that. Now I want to turn to the Miami Heat because, you know, it's been a weird series. Okay, after game one, Boston wins by a rout. You're thinking, oh man, they're going to be swept. Miami's going to be swept. Then they come out in game two. And hit 1,000 three-point shots, and it's like, wow, do they actually have a chance? Okay, and then game three happens, and it's like, nah, they don't have a chance. I'm thinking Boston is the better team. They would be the better team even if the Heat had Jimmy Buffett.
Wow.
That would be a miracle. Jimmy Buffett playing for the Heat.
Especially because he's dead.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Zagacto. Even if they had Jimmy Butler healthy. And
Jimmy Buffett.
Right. Both of them,
yeah.
correct. The Celtics would still be better. So
Jimmy Buffett's playing the two in his bare feet.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Would that be legal? By the way, are you allowed to play in bare feet in the NBA? I've never heard that question.
I imagine that would be a uniform violation.
You think?
I mean, don't they get after you for having your shirt untucked?
Yeah, but
what if it's something that's unwritten so they can't enforce it, you know?
it's like when I'm kicking field goals, I prefer kicking them bare feet, barefoot. Like, bare yeah. feet or bare foot?
As if you go kick field goals weekly.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like you should be able to play in bare feet.
I'm seeing here, according to the NBA's dress code, players are required to wear footwear that is reasonable and consistent with the professional nature of the game.
So I can't kick a barefoot field goal.
Players can wear basketball footwear manufactured by the shoe company of their choice during NBA games. The official rules say the shoes must be, quote, appropriate and designed primarily for basketball.
That's crazy. What if I want to make my own shoe?
You can, as long as it's appropriate for basketball.
Yeah, but you just said you don't want to wear shoes.
I'm going to make a shoe.
He breaks out the Dec Coat. He puts a gum sole on his
Dec Greg Coat. The Greg Coat Foot One.
Okay. All right. I don't know how we got derailed.
By the way, if you're listening to this podcast on Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, all of that sports conversation is outdated.
Okay. Not necessarily.
Dad, they both play Monday night.
I know. I want to ask you this, though. Okay. You're a Heat fan. Okay. At 2-1 down.
By the way, bold take that the Heat don't have a chance in this series. That's just thing. Really going out on a limb there.
Okay. You look, they have a Heat. They have a home game. They have a home game Monday. To make it 2-2, I don't think they have a chance. I still think I would bet $1,000. I would bet my house on Boston winning the series.
You don't
have to agree with me.
I was going to say that one game, I would not do that. But yeah, I mean, Dad, I mean, I don't disagree, but it's just, you know, the Heat have been that team. And I just want them to look, The Celtics are going to win this series, but I do think the Heat can be annoying. And Jason Tatum, when these guys, like when the Heat go get hot, there's something that happens with Tatum where he just like, I don't know. I could see the Heat doing weird stuff. Like, I don't think they're going to win the series. I agree with you.
Do you think they'll take one more?
I think they go back down. Like, I'm with my dad on this, but like, you know, I'm going to hedge and say that I could see them winning the game though. Like, it's,
I think they'll take one more.
Yeah.
At least.
And they'll win in six. What are you doing?
Okay. I don't think so. What are you doing? I know. I'm trying to like make a point with my fingers here. Greg, I love when you put your fingers so close to the camera that they look like this.
Greg is holding his yellow fingernails up to the camera.
His old hands.
I know. Old hands. Old. Not all hands on deck. Old hands on deck.
Old hands on deck.
Okay, so we've agreed. Yeah.
All right, let's go to break now. Yeah. And on the way out, we'll do it as if it was after Monday. And we'll just pretend we have the results in hand for everyone listening on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Okay.
Guys, let me talk to you about Sheets and Giggles. It's Mother's Day's right around the corner. Change your mom's life. Get her some quality bedding, sheets, mattresses, pillows, pillowcases. It's all a game changer. It's all soft. It's all cooling. It's all, you know, you get out of bed in the middle of the night, you go to your bathroom, you come back. It's not just like, it's not that warm bed that you sometimes get back into. It's like this nice, cool, but yet not too, it's just, you won't know it until you try it. And please try it. Everybody that I recommend this to text me and they said, dude, spot on, dad. That's gross. Your forehead looks terrible. Please back up. That's just very disgusting what you're doing right now. Sheetsgiggles.com/Greg. Promo code HOTMOM for 20% off the entire site. I'm telling you, your mom deserves a thoughtful gift. Don't just get her this boring card with a note that says, hey, you're a great mom. All right, get her something thoughtful that she will genuinely appreciate and use. I'm telling you, you're going to win Child of the Month if you go to sheetsgiggles.com/Greg. Promo code HOTMOM, 20% off. Get her a gosh darn mattress. Get her sheets. Get her pillows. Get her pillowcases. You'll change her life, and she'll love you more than she already does. So do that.
Cool sheets for hot moms.
Cool sheets for hot moms. That's right. And also, they have warm sheets for ugly moms.
Whoa!
I'm kidding. That was a joke. I tried to make a joke, and I took it too far.
Yeah,
back
did.
To you, Dad. What are you gonna do on what are you gonna do Tuesday with the Levitard show? Are you gonna like? How are you gonna hide this face of yours? Are you just gonna own it?
I don't know. You know, you talked me into still doing the show Tuesday, even though I look like this. And I haven't asked you this off air, but I have to ask you. I want you to drive me. I want you to pick me up, and I want to go with you because the doctor tells me I should not drive until these brain scan tests come back.
Okay.
So I'd like you to do that. But I may have a surprise for the Levitard show Tuesday, facially. I may have a surprise.
You're going to get like maybe you get facial surgery and have a new, just a completely new face?
It could be. I will look like Tom Cruise.
He comes in with Tom Cruise face.
Exactly. No, Dad, hey, you're not like, look, this is your show. Like, whatever you have for Tuesday, you can unveil now. What do you have planned?
Okay. Should I say it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why don't you show it?
Oh, it's like something to cover your face? Is it something to cover your face?
All right. Hang on just a second.
Okay. I was thinking he's going to like put a bunch of makeup on or something.
I know.
I'm trying to think what he could have. Is he going to have like a monocle?
Yes, because that would he put it on the injured eye or on the other eye? Which one would distract from the damage more?
I'm picturing the party now, like Eyes Wide Shut. Oh my God, it is like an Eyes Wide Shut.
Sing that kind of thing.
The day right. Up,
that kind of thing. That kind of thing.
What?
The day up, that kind of thing.
It's on wrong.
He fronts the Hee-Haw 3 Votes Hall of Fame. He kills the show again as if designed.
Just one of the most ridiculous songs Yeti's ever written.
And for the listening audience at home, Greg Cody has re-entered the room wearing a Phantom of the Opera mask, and it is very poorly placed upon his face.
Dad, you don't even have it covering your... No, leave it on. Put
leave
it on right.
Please. Put it back on.
Like, it's on. You didn't have... You weren't hearing anything we were saying there.
Okay.
You probably couldn't. You didn't hear
it. Put the mask back on.
Put it on, right.
And leave it on.
You had it on wrong the entire time.
No, I didn't.
Dad, were you looking out of it?
It goes on like this.
Put it on.
Strap it on, Dano.
Okay.
Now it's kind of on right. Like, finally, you had it on wrong the entire time.
So messed up.
All right, I want to say this, because when I heard that ad read, and please do patronize Sheets and Giggles.
Christ.
When I heard that ad read about Mother's Day.
Clumsiest Phantom Menace ever.
Okay. Your mother tells me, and this is a telltale sign. She asked me a couple of days ago, so what have you done about Mother's Day? Okay. And I'm like, the answer is nothing. and she's speaking for you too, Christopher, and they know that we've done nothing. And so she's asking.
First of all, speak for yourself.
Okay. So what have you done?
I'm not saying.
No, good answer.
You don't think that I have stuff being delivered to like my wife's work and stuff. Like
that's fine. But in terms of like a Mother's Day brunch that day, or
we
that
have
kind of
brunch
thing.
Plans.
Do you?
Yeah. No, we do.
Yeah, collectively.
Like with Greg.
Right.
Okay. And why? Because the women made their own Mother's Day brunch plans.
No,
that's why.
See, you're so out of this.
Okay.
I talked to my wife about it, and she was like, let's do brunch. So, like, yeah, like, I was part of that planning.
All right. Okay. Okay. All right. You're better than me then, because I didn't realize that you got to do something like a month in advance.
Do you know how masks work?
I thought, no.
Like, that whole...
I've never worn a mask.
I'm supposed
it's
to
turn into a giant eye patch.
Like, I'm supposed
I was never even a Halloween.
Pull it down. Why are you pushing it up? Pull it down so we can, like, put the hole over your eye.
So you get, there like, we go, so we can see your eye.
For the love of Susanna.
Awful. So uncomfortable. For $6, you should get better than this.
Your big ass nose.
Really? For $6, Greg, really?
It's that thing is not prepared for the Cody nose.
It really isn't. Okay.
So you're going to have, are you going to have this on at the start of Tuesday's show?
I don't know. I'm going to bring it to the studio. You know, we'll hopefully set it on fire.
I think you should, and you just need to explain to Dan that this is who you are now.
Yeah.
Your mask guy.
I think you should have it on, and then there should be a revelation of your face, like, on there.
This is the perfect look for me.
Yeah.
I think it actually probably works better if you strap it under your ear. Not that side. The side of your damaged face.
Yeah, that's the
damaged
angle. Other side.
There you go. That probably will help it.
My dad just doesn't realize that it like he's sliding it the wrong way. Like,
right. Ooh,
there we go. See, there you go.
I
now you're wearing the mask properly.
There
looks
we go.
Great.
Finally.
Okay, listening audience, you need to... Later on this week, we're going to post videos. Tune into Levitard Show Tuesday. Check our social media feeds. We'll have pictures and videos of this.
Yeah.
He finally got his mask right that we
after
can see both
7
eyes.
Minutes of fiddling with it.
Okay.
I would have thought that maybe you tested how to put it on before the podcast.
No, never. It just got delivered today. You know, it's ridiculous.
What is her? Has Erlene seen it?
I don't think she...
No. I've got you bringing this into the bedroom.
Baby, is the Phantom of the Opera a good guy? Like, I don't even know that. Like,
no,
because
no, he's
this,
misunderstood, but he's also bad, if I remember correctly.
Because if this doesn't turn you on, I don't know what will.
So this wouldn't actually. I as soon as this arrived, I did put it on and wore it briefly,
and only it, and only that.
No, and well, I wore it briefly for Jumpin' Charlie. Like, I wore the mask briefly for Jumpin' Charlie.
Yeah.
And he was a little taken aback. Like, I didn't keep it on long because he was going to get all freaked out. You know, he was going to be crazy for it.
How's Jumpin' Charlie? Good.
Right, exactly. I want to mention something real quick.
Well, that's what podcasts are for.
I know, right? Well, first of all, I mentioned last week that Calmly, the Forgotten Filly, was running on April 28th, which would be today as we're recording. The race was delayed. So instead of running today in France, she's running in May
in
Italy.
Calmly, oddly enough, also fainted and has like a cut over the right side of the face. And
that's right. And Calmly was with me. She was bowling. It's amazing. A horse bowling.
Calmly kicked you in the head. I mean,
she kicked my ass is what she did. I'm bowling a 151 like always, and Calmly's bowling a 178. I'm in Marion's today with your daughter, Christopher, and my wife. We're having a beautiful breakfast. And who do I see but Kim Bocamper, former great dolphin.
All jacked up.
Okay.
I'm saying, no, you were all jacked up. Like, what did he say about your face?
Oh, well, okay. All right. First of all,
you think I was calling him all jacked up?
I did. I don't know.
You're like, yeah, that's mean.
Okay. First of all, I found a beautiful, what do you call it?
Band-aid.
that covers my forehead. Okay. Perfect. My exact skin color. It's great. And then I wear sunglasses, which cover like 90%.
In the restaurant?
Yeah. I feel like such an asshole doing that because I look at you as an asshole if you're wearing sunglasses in a restaurant. I'll be honest with you. But in this case, I had to do it. So Bocamper comes up to me, hey, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah. And I don't even know if I mentioned this, but two months ago, Bocamper calls me and he's thinking of starting a podcast and he's looking for advice. And I'm like, why are you talking to me? You're looking for advice on a podcast? He's talking to me, okay? And he comes up to me today and says, hey, my podcast is debuting this week. And so I want to give it a shout out. Kim Bocamper and Joe Rose, two former notable former Dolphins players, have teamed up on a new podcast called Out to Pasture, which is debuting this Wednesday, a couple of days from now. And I'd love you all to check it out and give that podcast a chance in a crowded market because Out to Pasture, these are both older guys. Kim is my age. And I think Rose is a few years younger, but they're basically older folks like me. And they're starting a podcast that essentially is about aging, you know, for, you know, athletes who are aging and this type of thing. And so I'm going to give it a listen. I think it has a chance. And I'd like you all to, too. So
if I was with you right now, I'd be feeling your forehead to see if you're feeling okay. Because, like, you're promoting someone else's podcast.
I know.
Like,
this is unusual for me.
There have been shows that you have appeared on that you won't even promote.
Right.
That's true.
Like, you must not feel threatened by them in the least.
I know. If their podcast takes off and they continue to not ask me on as a guest, even though I would be a perfect guest for their podcast. I mean, I feel like my podcast is an Out to Pasture podcast. I mean, a lot of my podcast is talking about aging and stuff like this and falling on your face and having injuries. I mean, I feel like they're stealing my material.
This podcast should be called Goo!
Exactly. But anyway, Out to Pasture, check it out. Give it a shot. Give it a listen. I will. I plan to listen.
I have a personal story about old people if you recall, several months ago, I shared a story that I could have titled Sex Dream Grandma, where my grandma, she's in hospice care. She's starting to, get dementia setting in and everything. And she apparently had a sex dream about my grandpa who had passed away
back in
2021.
Who could forget?
Either way, so I get a text from my sister the other day saying that, from one of my sisters, saying that she's been reading too many romance novels. And it's funny because her husband's name was Wilbur. My grandpa's name was Wilbur. And she says she's convinced that she has another husband who's either named Ed, we'll just say Blanc because it's my real last name, or Wilbur Blanc. And Mr. Ed here, Wilbur. And she said, I asked her what happened. And she said, well, my first husband, your grandpa, had gone away. He died. And then I got busy with another one.
Jesus.
She used the phrase, got busy?
My 92-year-old grandma, who's in hospice care, used the phrase, got busy.
I like that.
Good for her. It keeps you young, Granny.
Whatever keeps her young.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, sex dream grandma strikes again.
Wow.
All right, so I've already talked about my dad only wearing a phantom mask. Yeti's talking about his grandma having sex. Dad, do you want to bring anything like just weird to the table?
I've got nothing to compete with that, but I do.
Has Me Maximum ever made an appearance in the bedroom?
Yeah.
Like, wow. Issuing demands?
Me Maximum, me? No, I don't think so, but Yeti, tell the big news about Me Maximum.
Well, I have questions about Me Maximum as well, but
okay,
everyone, you can go to shop.thegregcodyshow.com right now because we have Me Maximum merchandise. It is out. Even my wife loved this. She saw it and she's like, that is so good. She's really impressed with it, yeah, really happy it with good. It. That takes a lot to get her to pay attention to anything I do with the show. So Greg loved it. He still had a list of 15 changes, but we made them happen.
Thank
so go
you.
Check it out. The Me Maximum collection now at shop.thegregcodyshow.com. And we have 15% off everything now through Tuesday.
Oh, it looks ridiculous. My dad my dad looks jacked. And my dad, damn, of course my dad likes it because he looks 20 years younger. His hairline's great. He looks
great hair.
He looks like he like works out 3 days a week.
Damn right I do.
It's Greg Maximum. Greg to the max.
Thank you.
Yeti was kind to you.
It's the Greg I want to be. Me Maximum, me.
Maybe
I mean, it's perfect.
Just to make more work for Yeti, maybe we have a special edition where he has a black eye.
and an asphalt burn on his forehead. We should do that.
One of the things I'm loving being on this show is I think, like, I've been here 3 years, and I'm like, how could there be more, like, catchphrases or, like, small little things that have been around for a long time, apparently. But the fact that Dan was even surprised by this.
I thought I had said Me Maximum on the air before.
Not in the 7 years that I've been listening.
Really?
Or 8 years now. Not in the 8 years that I've been listening to the Levitard Show.
No.
I don't recall it.
That felt like something to me that I had said before on air, but it might have just been I told people before other people, like not on air.
Yeah, because honestly, Christopher, when you said it last week on the Levitard Show, it was a revelation to me because I remembered it as soon as you said it, but I had completely forgotten that Me Maximum, and it's always Me Maximum and then something, Me Maximum right. Driving, Me Maximum TV.
It was always TV. That's where I remember it, in the hotel rooms.
Right. Because, you know, when I'm involved in something,
it's because you would do this thing where we would all be watching TV and he would be in bed with his eyes closed. So he would just be like making these statements as if he's trying to sleep, like kind of like instead of just like, hey guys, can we turn the TV off? He would just be like, Me Maximum TV.
Exactly. Like the Gacky.
What were they supposed to do with that?
They were supposed to turn off the TV because they realized I'm trying to sleep.
A normal human being would be like, guys, can we turn off the TV, please? It's getting late.
And let's
I'm the dad here, damn it. Yeah. Turn off the TV and go to bed.
Yeah. And let's not forget the crisscross applesauce legs, fingers interlocked on his stomach, no covers, like outside of the covers.
I'm going to say something.
It kills me.
Me Maximum reminded me, you know, sometimes I'm accused of taking credit for things. I invented the idea of content. Okay. The idea that in everyday life, there is an element of content. There's an element of performance art to everyday life. And when I'm in a hotel room with my two sons and my wife and myself, and I want to go to sleep, and it's like, what about me? Me Maximum, TV, let's turn it off. And that was the night you wouldn't do it. And that was the night I ended up in the bathtub. Okay, that was the night, the only night in my life I slept in a hotel bathtub.
You let your kids run you into the bathtub?
Yes, it's ridiculous. Oh my God. Yeti, I want to ask you something. No, seriously.
So go to our shop, support us, buy Me Maximum shirts, please.
That's people. True. It's a great design. I don't often oversell our merchandise, but the Me Maximum design, I love.
It's
I think
ridiculous.
It's great.
You love Enjoy all of them. It. It's ridiculous.
That's a fact. Okay. Yeti, when I, and I'm saying Yeti because you're an old soul. I think you're tuned into the Beatles more than Christopher is. What does it mean to me, to you, when I say the phrase Primrose Hill?
Oh, gosh. Dang it. Now you're going to embarrass me. I don't remember. I know I've heard the phrase, but I cannot piece where it goes.
Well, the sons of McCartney and Lennon just teamed up on a single, and it
this is was this Julian and James?
It was actually Sean Ono, Lennon,
Sean and James.
Okay, and the voice I believe is I think it's James McCartney's mm-hmm. music and unmistakably Sean Ono Lennon's voice because it sounds like a John Lennon song.
Gotcha.
And that's flattering it. I'm not saying it's that good, but it's very trippy and slow and a song. You know, it very much sounded like a Lennon / Beatles latter day song and we'll talk about it again next week. Listen to it and let me know what you think because I'm not sure if it's a good song or not, but it's gentle on the ear and it's good to hear. You know, I mean, the sons of McCartney and Lennon doing something, anything is that's welcome to me. You know,
I wonder if there'd be anything legally preventing them from writing under the names Lennon McCartney.
I would think not.
I don't know.
I would think not.
That'd be interesting. Only to you and me, I guess, and Joe Johnson.
Yeah, I know. I guess let's get Joe on to talk about it next week. Hey, you know what's left?
The end of the episode?
No, we got a lot left.
He's always kind of thinking that his puns are in vogue.
Yeah.
He cracks himself up like an egg with a yolk, and now Chris's morale is broke. Dad jokes.
Was this on last week's episode?
It was. It was so good.
Yeah. Chris, you're here.
Oh, wait. I actually listened to it?
Yeah.
Because
Chris was semi-here last week.
Okay. I definitely did not listen back to the episode.
Okay.
You reacted in a very similar manner.
Oh, my God.
Good song, Eddie.
It is a good song. All right. Dad jokes number 3. What shape is bad at driving?
A rectangle.
That is correct.
Yeah,
a good rectangle.
Work. Damn near killed him.
Wow, I'm on a streak of losing these things. I got to get better. Okay, number 2. Why do vampires make bad police officers?
Because they suck.
Not a bad answer. Fear of stakeouts.
Ah, okay. I don't mind that one.
They suck is not bad. Number 1 dad joke. What do you call an elephant that doesn't matter?
Irrelevant.
Irrelevant.
Correct.
Irrelevant.
Oh, wow.
Irrelevant. Oh, man. I got to pick up my game.
Wow. That's 4 out of the last 6.
I'm telling you. I got
to
come
up. We are so
with...
close to erasing this. Now that we have imaging, we're so close to getting 3 in a row and knocking it out.
Oh, my God. I gotta raise my game here. All right. What's next?
I actually do like the idea of this segment just becoming my dad can't get Joe. We just get him all right and he gets mad.
I know.
Then I will actually like the segment.
I'm disappointed.
There are 3 things that interest him, so sit right back for 3 facts, Jack.
Number 3. History's most fertile woman gave birth to 69 children in the 1700s. It had to be that number. The name of the wife of Fyodor Vasilyev was never recorded, but she produced those 69 kids in only 27 pregnancies, including 4 sets of quadruplets.
Wow. Sounds painful.
Man, God bless her. Number 2. In an October 15, 2002 episode, Buffy the Vampire Slayer became the first U.S. TV show to use the word Google as a verb. When Willow and Buffy were discussing a student with psychic powers, and Willow asked, "Have you Googled her yet?" Number 1. This is good, by the way. This is a personal favorite of mine.
You look ridiculous.
Okay. Well, why wouldn't I? I almost asked this of McGill last week, but I saved this for my own podcast. Number 1. Underneath all of that snowy fur, the animal most associated with the color white, the polar bear, has black skin.
That is a good fact. I would have never guessed that.
I never would have either.
2 Antarcticas.
I enjoyed that.
Greg, send us out of here.
You know what? An unusual episode. Thank you for joining us. I look like shit. I'm okay. I'm good. Don't worry about me. Everybody's got to fall face first on asphalt
before you die
to realize what they're all about. If you haven't done it yet, do it. but do it carefully, because I wouldn't recommend it.
Do
it
did.
With a paramedic nearby. If you have to do it, or if you don't, just listen to this episode, listen to me talk about it, describe it, and then you don't have to do it.
Maybe do it near grass.
That's true, near grass.
Or a bed, or maybe in a ball pit.
Yeah, you know what? Anywhere but asphalt, I think, is the way to go right
here. Try to avoid asphalt, try to avoid corners.
Yeah, boy, that's true. I did a lot wrong, but you know what? Thank you all. Enjoy you. Enjoy me. Who enjoys each other more? Me, you, or you, me? Good night. See you next week. You know what? Maybe next week we'll have another medical update, and it could be grave.
That kind of thing.
That kind of thing.
Exactly. That kind of thing. And you know it.